Welcome to the DevHouse Agency Podcast, your window into the metaverse. I'm your host, Jim Welch. Today is joining me, Shay. How are you doing, Shay?
I'm good. How are you, Jim?
I'm wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, doing great. Today we actually have two guests on. It's our first time having two virtual guests. We're entering the metaverse. I don't know.
It has arrived.
Yeah. So we will be introducing our guests shortly here, Val and Marco, but not yet. First, let's talk about some gear. Yeah. So this is something I've seen floating around my LinkedIn feed. And then I know, Shay, you poked around here a bit and some avatar tools. So
yeah, related to our guest today, Ready Player Me, which apparently is like a multi-platform capable avatar creation system that you would be able to use on different sort of platforms. It looks like they have a Unity SDK, so you could theoretically drop these avatars into just about any Unity game. But yeah, it looks like they work with different streaming platforms and VR metaverse sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's addressing the problem that, you know, we've covered on a few episodes where, you know, interoperability. It's like, how do you have something that can be in a lot of places? Yeah. And this is a goal, while I haven't talked directly to the creators, it seems like it's moving towards that goal of like, mm-hmm. Hey, my digital persona, how do I create it and put it in a lot of places? Yeah. The tools aren't there yet to necessarily say, okay, I make this cool person in the awesome jacket. I really like that character, by the way. It's super cool.
But Nintendo Wii character on every platform.
Right. The problem of like every experience has different rendering settings, and so it's not just, unfortunately, you know, as really cool, and we'll talk about some of the cool stuff about this tool, but it's not like we solved the problem. Yeah. you use Ready Player Me and now you exist in all of the things, right? So one really cool thing about it though is its ability to use a facial scan, like, yeah, hey, take a selfie. Cool. and you're
auto generate emissions. Yeah,
right. So that's really neat and unique, and I think that's really fun. I don't know about you, but I always make myself in video games, which I don't know if that means, I don't know if I need to talk to somebody. It's like, I end up doing that anyway.
This,
like,
is
okay,
the cool me.
Right. Yeah, it's you, but always slightly cooler.
Yeah. With like blue sunglasses and
So, but I mean, that'll be interesting on a sort of a tangent, like how people, as we become more immersed into a digital persona, how similar we are to our real us, I guess, versus a new, totally different representation. My hunch is people who grow up with these tools will have very different personas, where those of us who didn't will feel more comfortable, like, well, no, but this is me in the flesh. So if I'm going to be in this virtual space, I want to like connect to what I know and I'm comfortable with. But we'll
don't
see.
Don't give me no Snapchat filters.
Right. Yeah. These darn kids and their weird avatars. We're in Texas. We're allowed to have a Texas accent. This is a neat tool. And if you're a developer watching this, you know, the SDKs, whether it's Unreal SDK or Unity SDK, and they have a few other SDKs, it looks like, as well. The way I see it is like, hey, if you want to not make a character creation tool from scratch, and you want some of these cool features, and you want to maybe hopefully be sort of a stylistic interoperability between applications, this might actually be a really cool tool for you. If you're not a developer and you work with developers, or you're interested in the space and you start working on a project, something to consider.
Yeah. And again, I think our guest today is working in tandem with this system for the stuff they're working on, which is pretty cool.
So. Yeah. So we'll see if they have some perspective as well. Perfect. Well, that's our gear. I need to start adding quotes to gear, or like an asterisk, because a lot of times it's software. It's a tool. Gear? Check out some tools. I don't know. It sounds less graceful. So just pictures of jerks on the face. I don't know. So let's jump right into our dev abomination.
Cool.
Yeah. So today's abomination, I think we have a couple pictures. Someone brought to our studio a project, a video game project. And we're super excited to work on it. But it came in a state from a previous unnamed developer. And we had a fun Easter egg experience of finding the crazy. of like, some why is it like to work this? Out? Yeah. So this particular one that we are seeing on our screen, if you're watching us on YouTube, the door is a little small, I would say.
Yeah. Would scaling issue.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it also looks like it's in the floor, but it's not. I remember looking at this with you guys. It's not actually in the floor. The door is just, he's a little guy.
About the size of the gun.
Yeah. Yeah. So you couldn't really fit in there if you wanted. So I think we have another shot of the same building that we discovered. There it is. So this is more in line with what I like to do for our Dev Abomination. So I always like to try and tie in, like, make it a learning moment. So, you know, again, we didn't build this house or texture it or anything, but when we found it, I think actually I first discovered this. Maybe I didn't, but I'm going to claim, put my flag on it. I found this and I was like, what is over there? Yes, I have discovered this abomination. My flag is in it. But I remember flying through, you know, in the scene view and being like, what is that weird thing on the roof? And well, it's a bad UV. Basically, to not get too technical, if you ever like unwrap an Easter bunny like chocolate, like you get, you know, those chocolates. So Santa Claus or Easter bunnies are always like shaped and you unwrap the tin foil and you lay it flat. It'll typically look pretty weird, you know, especially if it's like a full 360. The bunny has a tail. It's going to look all strange and like spread out. That is what most things inside of 3D experiences look like for their texture. So if you see, you know, the Ready Player Me avatars, for example, if you were to look at the thing that gives them color and definition and outlines and eyeballs, etc., it's going to look like that craziness because it gets wrapped around a 3D object. So if you, some of the tools, again, not to get too technical, but some of the steps in that process, if you do them badly, you will get the entire T of something. I don't know what that is. I can try to guess looking at it, but I'm not positive. I was like, there, I see gravel maybe, but that is something if it were to be wrapped around the right thing. It is just slapped on the roof for whatever reason. So we will never know, maybe.
Mouth bag.
Yes.
When in doubt, it's a mouth bag.
Our least favorite, unless you're Devin, favorite word of the studio. But yeah, so I think that's actually a new game show, is identify that texture. Just pop up unwrap textures, and we have to figure out what they're supposed to be
for. New podcast segment.
Yeah, I like it. We will see if it makes it in. Like 3 episodes from now, someone will be like, ah, that's the origin. Yeah. Origin of name that texture. Awesome. Okay, well, let's dive into news.
News.
Yeah.
News just in.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Music. So Vanity Fair posted on its cover. I guess you don't post on a cover. Printed on the cover. Yeah, that's back
old,
in the day.
Old world.
Yeah. But on their cover of Vanity Fair is Aloy. In a previous episode, I got picked on because I said Aloy, even though I have played Horizon Zero Dawn, the first one, I did not remember how to pronounce her name, but I guess it's Aloy. So apologies to gamer fans that got angry with me. But yeah, she is on the cover of a magazine that is not about video games. So that's neat.
Yeah. What a world we live in when video game characters can show up on, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Special.
What next?
Yeah.
Time Magazine?
Let's do it. Well, what's interesting, so it's the first time Vanity Fair specifically has ever shown a digital character or video game character. You know, I don't personally read Vanity Fair, but in my mind, it was always like a kind of a fashion magazine.
Glamour,
yeah, sort of more high end. I did some research, and I guess it's a little broader than that. It is entertainment. They talk about TV shows and things like that. But this is the first time they've done this. And just with the timing of kind of the environment and space we're in and the industry we're in as Dev House, it feels like a very good step in the right direction for digital identity. Yeah. And kind of having, you know, identity through the metaverse. It's like, well, if something, you know, the way Aloy is presented here as well, it's very much like a glamour shot. It's not like a shot of her, like, you know, killing one of those, like, you know, mechanical dinos or something, or setting a trap. It's not a gameplay moment. It's her as an identifiable human.
And it's got to be weird for like whatever actor the model was based on to see herself like, well, that's me, but it's like not me,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'd be curious. I'm sure they did, because most games, especially for like sort of realistic renderings. They typically base it around some person, sometimes a voice actor, sometimes totally someone unrelated. But yeah, I don't know who Aloy is based on or if anyone, but it'd be interesting.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, so I'm very excited by that, hoping to see a lot more. And then I think the next step, my kind of prediction, is hopefully the next big news article is going to be about some celebrity's digital persona that, like, instead
Charmander.
Right, Charmander. I don't know. Would you consider Charmander a celebrity? in your heart of hearts, yeah. Charmander is...
Squirtle for sure.
Yeah.
Like, the one that leads the gang of Squirtles with the
glasses. Sunglasses? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't watch a lot of Pokemon, but I know that cool Squirtle. Yeah. But I'm thinking, like, just for example, pop culture, instead of Kim Kardashian being on the cover, Kim's digital avatar that she owns and she's created, that shows up. So, like, someone that normally would be on the cover, they just swap out with their digital version of them.
Times Square concert Bieber.
Yeah, right. And but, like, especially if it's owned by them. So it's one thing if, like, some artist, like, makes Justin Bieber as a 3D model and then that gets put up. It's a different thing if it's Justin's character that he uses in Sandbox, and, like, that's who he plays as, and then that's on the cover. I think that's going to be a really powerful moment, and I'm sure it's going to happen unless something crazy shifts culture and the way we're going with this stuff. But that'll be really interesting. Because then it'll start being like, well, I want to meet digital Justin, right? Yeah. Like, that's like, even if, especially if that keeps going, then you won't see like a, there might even be people who don't even really know or remember what he looks like, right? It's like, if that keeps being the norm.
He prefers to be known as his Fortnite player.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you know, you look at like Deadmau5 or something, it's like, we know what he looks like now, but really, like, people identify him with the helmet on, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's just interesting. I see digital personas being that. But anyway, you know, interesting topic, easy to go on and on about it. But I think with that said, I think it's probably time we bring out our guests, Marco and Val. Let's bring them up, Liam. As he hunts for our there they are. Yay. Hey. We did it.
Hey. Hey.
So welcome to our podcast. Thank you for also helping us with Google. Earlier we were like, how do we hide the camera? And Val saved us. She's like, oh, just click that button.
Taught us about Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Google.
No, Zoom's Zoom has just many problems. They're all that's what's interesting. We switch from like client to client, like different video chat platforms, and it's always like, okay, wait, the mic was working in that one. Yeah. What are the hotkeys in this one? So it's again, this day and age. Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome. What I like to do is give the floor to the guests to kind of introduce themselves, to talk about what they do. And then, you know, cumulatively, you are working on the same project. So either one of you can sort of take the high level, but I would love to know, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know more about you as individuals as well.
Cool. Well, I'll jump in. I am Val Vacante. I am the Director of Strategy and Product Innovation at Merkle. We are a Dentsu company. And outside of that, I'm also an inventor, a tinker, a writer. And Marco and I, we've actually been collaborators for a number of years. So I'll turn it over to you, Marco.
Thank you, Val. First of all, thank you so much for having us and to give us the opportunity to show a little bit of Head Office. I'm the CEO of Head Office, and we are changing the way that, well, we're hoping to change the way that Generation Z will go to work. And we built a metaverse to accommodate them. We've been developing you can see around me, we have a career developing toys and products here in Hollywood, and following Gen Z from their early days. Now we're taking them to work. So I hope you will see a little bit of how is Generation Z going to work, and we hope you enjoy.
Awesome. Yeah, well, definitely excited to kind of explore virtual workspaces, you know, working in the metaverse, because we're still trying to figure out how to get, you know, like I said before, interoperability, and like, how do we get play between these spaces? But very much equally important, especially with, you know, COVID and so many companies permanently working from home, that how do we work remotely in a way that coincides with this digital, not a trend, but digital movement into the metaverse. And so you guys are tackling that problem head on, which is really exciting. I know Microsoft about a month ago announced that Microsoft Teams was going to kind of get into the space, and they kind of showed some of their the sign of torso up style avatars. Just to dive into kind of like questions and things, do you guys, have you seen that? What are your thoughts on Microsoft's approach? I've only skimmed the surface of what their plans were.
Well, what we can say is that we've been developing for longer and that we have now that vision, which they believe it will be in 2-3 years, we have that ready here.
Right. So if anything, they are proponents for the thing you already believe in.
I believe everybody will collaborate together, but most important is right now, for example, we are not using anymore Meet or Zoom. We work every day and we have all of our meetings and everything from the metaverse. And you'll be able to see. We are here, but we are also there, Val and I, and we'll be able to show you. Yeah. How it is, and you were complaining a little bit earlier about how difficult it is having, you know, working with your studio with Meet and Zoom. So we'll show you that, you know, how cool it is also to have a studio in the metaverse.
I think that's a perfect segue for you to load it up, actually.
Yes.
Before we started the recording, we were getting a glimpse. So yeah, definitely excited to show everybody.
So here we are directly from the metaverse. Yeah.
So this space, so you'll talk to me, but also probably ask questions and as I see things that are cool. So is this a user? I mean, you guys are users, but also the creators of the space. But would this be a user-generated space? Is this like a space users come into? How does the space come into existence?
It is. So we are a digital twin of the moon. So we took all these images from NASA. We built, we wanted to be very realistic. So we, I'll take you here just for you to be able to see the moon. So we took all of these images and all of the information and physics. You see here the moon rotating. So you see this little blue dot is where we built a city. So this city is a 80 square kilometers wide. I don't know in feet.
That's right. We can
but it's, yeah. It's about the size of Silicon Valley, and we call it Moon Valley. So we built the city on the moon's digital twin as an innovation hub, as a place that we can start building our offices and our space, but already thinking how the future is going to be, how collaboration in space is going to be, how are we going to develop space, right? How are we going to become a multiplanetary species?
So then these are like a sort of a guidance to say, hey, I see you're here. If I want to get to the other side of the moon, are these like teleportation locations, or how would I get to someone else's city or a different city?
So you will be able to get out of this space and explore the moon, see the missions, the Apollo missions, the landing sites. You'll be able to explore that. But for now, we built a city within this dome that we created so that we can build an atmosphere. And inside this place, we flooded the land, and we are building islands for different purposes. So there are islands for companies to build their headquarters and do their training and events. There are places like expo centers for trade shows and experiences. There are studio spaces, there are spaces for artists to show their art. There are many things going to be launched after our talk at South by South on March 14th. So there will be lots of news. I'll pass over to Val, who has been helping us from the, she's been our guardian and inspiration here from the beginning at head office. She's helping us to understand how to bring great corporations to the moon.
So. Yeah.
shoot for the moon, right?
And
no, it's a great segue because, you know, one of the things we do at Merkle is we actually have an offering called Next Intelligence, and it's sort of 12 different offerings that help companies really accelerate technology, innovation, or brand experience. And what's been great is that in working with head office, we've had loads of interest, particularly coming from our Innovation Scout offering. So companies are looking for, you know, new startups, new ways to work, different partners. And so, you know, we've had a lot of interest from all sorts of brands in head office, whether it be for prototyping concepts, whether it be for greater collaboration with innovation teams, whether it be even showcasing their own products. And then also for company education or partner onboarding, we've had a ton of interest. We obviously can't talk about, you know, what brands or anything like that at this point, but there have been a lot of interest in those areas. And so much so at Merkle, we actually launched a couple of our own products at CES. And so we thought, what not better than have our own showroom in head office space? And so, I don't know, Marco, do you want to, we can do a quick breeze through of our virtual showroom here.
So do you want to lead? Take us there. So this spots in the center, it teleports you to the different areas where things are happening on each day. That's where we were is like an airport that takes you, we call it the gateway, that takes you to the different portals and show what's happening. So here we are, Val.
Cool. So yeah, this is the ShopNext showroom. ShopNext are we call them retail innovations that bring customers joy, but they also bring retailers joy too, because all of these products designed are super lightweight, future focused, you know, easy to do test and learns. And everything from kind of where Marco is there, Scan and Know, which basically it integrates into a retailer's existing website, customer profile, loyalty program. But the idea is that you can go into a store and actually, Marco, if we cruise on over, can we cruise on over to the presentation, please?
Yes.
Cool. So yeah, like on here, I have a little presentation, but this sort of shows some of the pain points, right? Like if you go into a retailer and they always have those scanner things that don't always scan, you can see there, you know, lots of queuing and all of these sort of things happening. And so that's where our products Scan and Know. And we also have a VIP contactless payment technology that we use. But yeah, without going too deep into the products, you know, mainly wanted to show you guys that, you know, this is a way that we, you know, incorporate and use head office to show whether it's our, you know, educate our internal teams on our products, clients, potential partners in the space. And they really like it. They're like, this is so much better than just a PowerPoint. But I'm like, hey, if you want a PowerPoint, we have that presentation going too. So we can do that.
Are these digital? So like this is a space you've set up. And then if let's say DevHouse wanted to make a little DevHouse office on the moon, is it plots of land, sort of like Decentraland that you would purchase? Or what's the model for like getting into the space?
After March 14th, you'll be able to get into our terminal, the gateway, which is where we were. You see where that statue is where we land, and we were all there. So there is a real estate shop that you go in, and you're going to talk to a real estate agent who will help you to get your land or to get the space that you need. We are stepping up a little bit from the other virtual world because we think right now you need to become an expert in NFTs and how the terminology and the value and everything to buy land on these places. And we think that our technology is mature enough to bring it closer to the real world experience. So everything at head office is close to that real world. So you go to our real estate store, just like you go to a Century 21st here or similar to get your space, or you use Zillow, for example. So that same experience is what you have. And everything, we are using Acres so that you understand the space and it's easy to know, okay, I'm buying this much. And also here, we are using USDC, so we're using a stable coin as our base coin, so that you don't need to be worried about crazy fluctuations, and that you can build a business. Because here is a place for creators to exchange, for people to get freelance work, to build things, to learn about the metaverse, and bring and exchange their creations.
Sure. So since you're using a coin, are these plots of land on the blockchain or are they just?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
They are all.
And then, so if we go into the real estate agent's office in the terminal and we purchase the bit of land, is it a blank piece of land that we then wanted to develop for? Is it already like, are you guys going to pre-build everything that gets purchased? Like, what's the, I guess, content distribution or content creation strategy?
We will be revealing the entire map of the city by March 14th. There will be spaces that you can build from scratch. There will be spaces that are already built. And this is the shop where you're going to come. You're going to see I zoomed out so you don't see the drawing app, but soon you'll be able to see. But here is where you will see the different opportunities in terms of land and real estate. And in the other side of the gateway, you also can book your event or party. So we have both the event center and the real estate. And on top, we have the avatar center. So you were talking earlier about Ready Player Me. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to use Ready Player Me and bring your avatar here as well. Awesome. So I'm going back to Val.
So if I buy a blank piece of land, is there tools in Engine? So like from this experience that I'm building in, is it importing a 3D model? Is it hiring you guys to build my vision? How do you see those blank plots of land being turned into something? Let's say Samson wants to reach out. We want to buy some land for a cool Samson building, but you don't have anything like what we want. How would that happen?
Exactly. So on the gateway, there are pods, there are places where you will be able to meet people that are builders, creators. So we are training creators very soon. It's great that you gave us the opportunity, because very soon we're going to open for creators to come to learn to build here. Awesome. It's as easy as building on a game. And they'll be able to be hired by these organizations and these companies to build. So we are having spaces for them not only to come and learn, but also to offer their services, get hired, and get paid via our space.
I think that's an important step for the metaverse as a whole, is commerce has to happen on the metaverse. Mm-hmm. And so yes. I think it's really cool that you guys are putting an opportunity for that to exist, and not just a place to exist, but like, hey, I can sell services, I can sell things I'm working on, I can purchase things that other people are working on. I think that's really cool.
Well, and we're Marco, sorry to jump in. I was going to say, I think it might be good. Let's go to the boardroom, because I think that's a
great view as well,
just to show the different collaboration tools and different things like that.
Yeah, and that might be a good segue too, to talk more about like working from the space. You know, we kind of looked at buying land and exploring like what you can do. But I think, you know, as we sort of tapped on really lightly, how, you know, we use, a lot of us are in office, most of us at DevHouse, but occasionally we'll have work from home days, or the weather will be bad, we'll still work from home, and we'll hop on a Zoom call, or we'll hop on a Slack huddle. But I'd be curious how this experience is different. So, yeah.
So when you press home, it takes you to your office location, to your own pod. So here I pressed home and it takes me to my office. And you see that here, I think it's when everybody understands that the metaverse will make it easier for us. Because imagine you have a meeting where you need to discuss the schedule that you're going to have for the month. You need to discuss your budget. You need to discuss and see your KPIs in a Zoom meeting or on a Google Meet. You have to, you know, deal with a lot of links and open your, on your screen, and you don't know which one is talking about. Here on our space, on each of these places, you can bring the link. You see it's a browser here. So you can open to your team, you can have your KPIs, you can open Mural, all of these Web2 tools, you can open them here, your Excel. And here on the center, also, it can be like we did here, where you can draw and it's like a whiteboard, or this can be just like a PowerPoint or an Excel, so you can discuss your budgeting by literally walking on your spreadsheet, immersing on your planning and things.
I think one challenge that I see in this space as we shift from kind of a 2D screens to 3D space is coming up with, we have, and I think you guys showcase really well here, how we can leverage the concept of multi-screen. I know you guys have probably played with this, but like the virtual offices that aren't multiplayer, but just so you can have a bunch of screens in VR and that's like, oh, I can have 10 screens where I'm not going to buy 10 screens in my house. So I think you showcase that really well here. But then the next sort of add-on to that is like, well, how can we leverage this new technology to do something that's totally different that we couldn't have even done if we wanted to in reality or in kind of a two-dimensional screen layout? And how can we use 3D spatial, and how can we make having meetings really, really use that? And I think that's something we're going to discover. The more we get into here, people are going to have these novel ideas, and that's great why you have a creator access, so people can actually start coming up with these ideas. And then someone's going to see and say, oh my gosh, that's so great. Yeah, let's build on that idea, and we'll see these natural new ways of collaborating, hopefully.
The more that we don't worry about, like, for example, you will see many metaverses that they will build an office, and then the office will have like 4 mica tables.
Right. Yeah.
And then you think like, why? Why are you going to bring that into the metaverse
when you could be on the moon?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So for example, I think the more we detach ourselves from reality, the better the experiences are going to be. But now we need that comfort, because reality now is not what used to be us.
Yeah, right.
So here we have that land. And I was telling you about the studio. So this is a studio we are building. And you see, it works like in the real world. These are cameras. You'll be able to join from there and have your guests joining as well, either from an avatar or from video. And you see, so there is no limit to what can be done. You see, this is just a glimpse of the area. And
I think that's a really good point you made, though, that the creators of the space, you know, everyone on this call, we kind of know that some of these recreations of real offices are not necessarily where we want to go, but it's sort of a necessary first step. You know, a lot of our clients that come to us, they want to get into this space, but they don't really understand what it is or how to. And so just getting this sort of like, hey, you could have a conference room, you know, online where you guys have characters you can walk around, and that helps make it simple enough. The familiarity.
It reminds me, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, but when apps first came out, right? And Apple had the bookshelf.
Right, yeah.
A digital bookshelf to get your digital book. And I think part of that is like, oh, it's familiar. I know that's the books. And so I feel like that's where we are in the metaverse. And that's why we see so many of the Formica tables and water coolers, but because it's familiar. But what I'm excited about what's happening in head office is like there's still a little bit of that familiarity, meaning like the table we saw in the boardroom, but you can scribble on it, you know. And so it's giving that balance of familiarity, but also pushing, you know, creativity and creatively how you can interact.
Right.
Oh,
I was going to say, there was a feature I saw, and I don't know if you guys currently have this or have considered it, but it was another application. I hate that I don't know the name of it, but it was that sort of pixel art Zoom meeting sort of thing. I think they're through like Y Combinator right now. But basically, one thing that I really liked about their solution was by your physical proximity, well, digital physical proximity in the world space, you could have sort of like more isolated conversations. So when I'm on a call with 15 people, our whole team is on the call, it works okay because we have a sort of a structure of business and we know who's supposed to talk when. But when I get on with like a bunch of friends or like for a meetup, it's chaos. And it's like, oh, I want to speak, but there's the really extroverted person who kind of always holds a conversation. But the benefit of these sort of spatial communication platforms is like, I'm going to walk away like a party, like an actual party. You can go have these kind of sub conversations. Right. So I think that's really powerful in this tool as well.
Well, you nailed it. And thinking about that, we added an additional layer. So we have the regular proximity conversation. So you can come in, you can talk and get away. But if you want to have your friends talking to you throughout the entire event or experience, like on a separate room, you can. So, for example, right now, Val and I, we are on something like Zoom on top of. So regardless of where we go, we don't miss each other. So it's nice for exploring, to go around. So it's regardless if I'm near her, I can still talk to her. And I can be here, but also talking and listening to the people around. So Imagine you are on an event with 1,000 people. You can have 10,000 separate rooms happening, but you're all here in the same place. So You can be watching a presentation with 1,000 people and still be with your 6 friends and not, you know, bothering anybody around.
Yeah, it's taking that layer of like the Discord group or the video game chat and laying that into the kind of the real world, because now you're trying to do things that are emulating what we might do in reality. So it's great. I think it's a perfect example of how like a metaverse space adds value. It's not purely just replicating the real world where there's conversations everywhere. I can't hear my friends speaking right next to me, or they went to the restroom, did they get lost, you know? But no, well, now I can keep in touch with them as they walk away to go get food or whatever they do. I think that's really awesome. I want to make sure there's time for you. I know you guys have a South by Southwest talk coming up. I want to give you guys time to sort of like, I know we've been talking about your product, but like formally, like, hey, go find us here. So what should people do if they're like, this is amazing, I want in? What do you recommend people do to get involved in this process?
So you see here, I'm back to where our talk is. It's right in the entrance. So have that up March 14 to 30 p.m. at South by South. right after that, we're going to open here. So headoffice.space. If you go to our website, you can sign up for early access. We'll be sending badges to be able to come in for March 14th. We'll have a little bit, we'll have some surprises here, but people will be able to come and check out and get a space. So March 14th, headoffice.space.
Awesome. Well, that's super, super exciting. I'll be signing up. Someone from DevHouse is going to be at South by Southwest, so he'll probably show up to the talk and bother you guys. Say, hey.
Great.
We can't wait for you to have a studio here and start broadcasting from the Metaverse. Right. How cool is that?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else that I want to make sure I cut you guys off? Is there anything else you want to share? We'll definitely link everything before we...
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Please, anybody come check out our talk where we will be talking about the future of workspaces in the metaverse. So Marco will be showing some fantastic examples of the work they're doing. We'll be talking about some of the work that we've been doing in collaboration with Head Office. You guys got a glimpse into our showroom and some other areas that we're working on. And then, check us out.
Well, sweet. I'm looking forward to it. I think with that said, appreciate your time. We'll be sharing this with everybody here, and hopefully we get lots of people who listen and then find you at South by Southwest. That would be awesome.
Thank you so much. Head Office is the home of the Generation Z, so you're all welcome here. Everybody's welcome here. Let's build a better working environment for the future.
Yeah, love it. All right, guys, take care. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So workspaces in the metaverse, we haven't as a team tried it yet. We've done kind of more traditional stuff, but there was that. I wish I could, maybe we'll find that pixel art experience and link it in the comments, but we considered doing it. One concern was maybe it might be distracting or a layer on top that we have to sort of manage. So that was some of my initial internal concerns with it. So we didn't end up pursuing it, but I definitely think it's something we should try in the near future.
Yeah.
And this might be a good example. You know, we got some comfort level. We got to get walked through, you know, maybe we have a day where we all just play around in it, get that comfort. So it doesn't feel like a process, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to see Devin's antics when there's no gravity involved.
Right. Just, like, unbridled. True. Expression
troll.
and then we'll get Dylan's scary memes just showing up everywhere, haunting our dreams.
All the screens,
unstoppable.
Yeah, this platform looks like it's going to be really cool.
I'm
excited to see, because there's enough of like familiar to like get used to these metaverse concepts, but it looks like there's plenty of room for innovating and doing crazy stuff like frogs falling from the sky or whatever. Right. You want out your office window.
Well, I'm excited on two specific things, that it's in Unreal Engine. Mm-hmm. Some of these other spaces, they tend to look a little not so pretty, but this is Unreal, which is known for looking pretty. And you could see by, you know, what we looked at today has a very nice rendering.
Yeah.
And that they have a commerce, like they can hire creators. Like DevHouse will definitely be showing up there to be like, hey, let's build you an office. You know, so awesome. Well, the future of work in the metaverse, it will be 5 years, 2 years. I don't know. Soon. I think it's coming. Yeah.
Next
this year,
apparently,
right? In
March
a couple
14th,
weeks. Yeah. What am I saying? It's here now. So, all right. Well, we will be heading to our normal work day now and to our regularly scheduled meetings throughout the DevHouse office. Thank you for joining us for our podcast. Be sure to subscribe. We are on all of the platforms. YouTube, we always recommend because you can watch videos with us and that's always great. But of course, you know, Spotify is great too, or all iTunes, all those guys. So wherever you find us, we appreciate you. So,
but come look at us.
Yes, we're so pretty. So pretty.
We look good.
Take care, everyone. All right, bye. All right, bye.